Blog Talk Radio.
Bless the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. He's worthy to be praised. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Shout glory. But we're here to magnify the Lord, to make him bigger, make him larger than anything that's going on. He is worthy to be praised. Hallelujah. Bless the Lord. Let's put your hands together. Hallelujah. Yes. Oh, yeah. Come on, sing.
Oh,
know, he said, if I be lifted up,
The word let us know that he will draw all men unto him. And I am so excited about that. All we need to do is to lift up the great and the mighty name of Jesus so that men and women, boys and girls, will be able to come and be able to be entered in and to know him as their Lord and Savior, to know him as their Alpha and Omega, to know him as the beginning and the end, the first and the last, the true and the living God. I proclaim today that God has all power in his hand. I proclaim today that God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, and there is nothing too hard for God to do. I mean, the enemy have come and the enemy have tried to make the people of God and even the unbelievers to believe that there are many things that God cannot do. But I want you to know that the word of God say heaven and earth may pass away, but not one jot or one tittle of his word will fail. I want you to know today that God is not in the failing business. And yes, God is able to move on your behalf. No matter what your circumstance, no matter what you're going through today, I want you to know that God, he is God, and he is God all by himself. Well, I'm Dr. Mary McCoy, Smith McCoy, and I am the preacher of the hour for today, and we just want to bless the Lord. I believe that sounds out, but bless the Lord, oh my soul, and all that is within me, I will bless his name. That's the word of God. Yes, I will bless the Lord. No matter what I'm going through, no matter what happened on yesterday, no matter what happened on this morning, yet I will bless the Lord. I will bless the Lord at all times. And that is what is so important in a day and a time that we live in today, that we must bless the Lord. We must thank the Lord God Almighty for the great and for the mighty things that he has done. We cannot take our life for granted. We can't take even swallowing for granted. We can't take sin for granted. We can't take hearing for granted. We can't take our heart as it beats for granted that it's just going to beat. But because of his grace, because of his mercy, because of his love for us, then we are so blessed to have our faculties and our organs and the vessels and the muscles and the bones and every area of us that is in perfect condition. And even if you're feeling symptomatic on the outside or some infirmity that's in your body, I want you to know today that all you need to do is ask the Lord to heal your body. Because the word of God say, ask and it shall be given. He said to seek and ye shall find. He said to knock and the door shall be open. He said, and we have the faith of a grain of mustard seed and say to the mountain, be thou moved. The word of God say that it shall be moved. So all we need to do is stand upon the word of God. All we need to do is to believe God. He believe God that he's able to do whatever it is in your life. This morning we will be coming from the New Testament, and we will be preaching the unadulterated, uncompromising word of God that's able to bring light and to bring you out of darkness, and able to loose the completely remove the shackles from off of you. So therefore, we want you to go to the book of John, and we're going to be preaching from that 9th chapter of John, the 9th chapter of John. And Jesus healed, it let us know how Jesus healed a blind man from birth. And Jesus passed by, and he saw a man which was blind from his birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did sin that this man or his parents that he was born blind? I want you to know today that we serve an awesome God. We serve a God that is able to heal and to deliver. We serve a God God, Jehovah Rapha, that God that's able to heal. He is our healer. And it tells us that Jesus had passed by and he saw a man that was blind from his birth. He was blind from the time that he came out of his mother's womb. He never did see the face of his mother. He never did see the face of his father. He never was able to see the light. He never did see the colors and shapes and figures. He did not see those things because he was blind and he could not see. So Jesus knew that this man was in this condition. He knew that he was blind from his mother's womb. And so therefore, when Jesus' disciples seen him, the disciples wanted to know immediately who sinned that this man are his parents. Oh, isn't it how it is even in our today in 2012, how when we see a person sick or have infirmities in their body, automatically we'll think that this person have sinned or somebody in his family has sinned because of the fact that the person is going through infirmity, or that person may be crippled, that person, as it is in the Word of God today, that the man was born blind. But yet it wasn't that his mother or he had sinned, but the Lord is going to let them know that it wasn't him, but the works of God should be made manifest in him. Oh, my God, are you going through something today that the Word of God, that the works of God can be manifested? Are you going through a condition of faith that God wants to use for his glory? God that wants to be exalted, and God wants you to exalt him and tell others about his miraculous healing power that's able, no matter what the circumstances is, no matter how the duration of time that you had to endure or encounter what you have gone through, God wants you to know that I am God, and I am God all by himself. This man, he was lying from his mother's womb. And no, it was not again because of something that his parents or he had done, but for the works of God, that God could be manifested. Can we not look at that? Can we not see God today in no matter what we go through? Because when I think of the servant Job, one that was upright before God, and yet he loved it, God, but yet God allowed the enemy to touch his body. But God knew that Job was faithful. God knew that Job loved him. God knew that Job had integrity, and that he would be able to allow Job to be tested, to go through some things in his life. Even when I said the word tested, then I immediately thought about Abraham, because Abraham went through a time of testing. See, we have to look in the Word of God, and we have to see what the men and women of God have gone through in their lives, to let us know that even as we suffer in the flesh, even as Christ, even as suffering in the flesh, to arm ourselves likewise to suffer. Job went through some trial. He went through some tribulation. He lost members of his family, his children, his household. His wife wanted him to curse God and die because of the fact that God had allowed the enemy to touch that which God himself had given him. Yes, God gave him all of the riches that he had. But yet he knew that it was only God that had given it to him. Yes, God gave Abraham that son, that promise, that son of promise. He gave him Isaac. He gave him Isaac for the glory of God. And he didn't just give it to him overnight. He didn't give him in a 9-month period when his wife and he conceived together, but he waited until both of them was at an old age. See, God always does incredible things. Can you say with me, God does incredible things? were old. They were old, old man and woman, and they were in their 90s. And yet God wanted to be made known to man to let them know that I'm able to do this. I'm able to cause the one that was called barren to be able to go forth and to be able to bear a child. So here we see in the Word of God, when God, our Lord Jesus Christ, when he had passed by and he had seen this man that was blind, it wasn't something that he wished that he could do for this man, but he knew that he was able to bring sight to the blind. And that is how we need to be able to look at God, that God is able, no matter what the condition in your body, you got to be able to walk in faith and to believe God. So the Word of God says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So therefore, we need to stand on God's word, and we need to believe God's word for what he said. The Bible says in Hebrews 11 chapter, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. All of this time, the woman had a child from birth, blind from birth. All this time, he's grown up, he's now a man, and he has become a beggar because he could not work, he could not provide for himself. The community most likely had to help him. Those that passed by had to engage if they would, because you know now in day-to-day and time that we live in, everybody is not going to stop and help you. Everybody is not going to have compassion on you because you are blind, because you cannot work, because you cannot see, because you may be crippled. Yes, there are many out there that God has touched their heart, and yes, they will help. But there are some people that will not have that compassion on that individual. But here, and as we see in the Word of God, that the Word of God say, he say, I must work the work of him that sent me. And that should be our testimony, that we must work the work of him that has sent us. And for the Word of God let us know, he said, why is day the night coming when no man can work? He said, as long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. And we can, even as Jesus is the light of the world, then we also should be a light as well. The Word of God said, let our light so shine before men that others will see our good works and glorify the Father which is in heaven. And then we see that when Jesus looked at the man, he didn't look at him in a way that he despised him because he was a beggar or was poor or was blind. But Jesus had compassion upon him. And Jesus wanted his Father. He wanted him. He wanted the work of him, the work of the Father, to be glorified. So therefore, Jesus, he spat on the ground, and he made clay of a spindle, and he anointed the eyes of a blind man with clay. He anointed the blind man's eyes with clay. Oh, no one would have thought to do this. No one out of all of those years had the faith to believe God. He had the faith to know what to do. They had that gift of healing, had the faith to believe that this man, that he did not have to stay in the same condition that he was in. A lot of people are in condition today because believers will not move in faith, because believers will not step out of the box and believe God and to cause healing through the word of God, through the name of Jesus, through the faith of God that God has given us to be able to heal the sick. Oh, my God. It is nobody but God. But God let us know he is showing us an example of what to do and what he did. He had made the, he had spit it up on the fat on the ground, and he had anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay. And then he told him something. He said that he had anointed his eyes. But yet he told him, go, which is an action word. That means to get up. He said, go, and he said, wash in the pool of Siloam. And when he had gone and he had washed like Jesus told him to go and wash, he was able to see. We must be obedient to God. When God tells us and commands us to do certain things, we must obey God. I was thinking about, as the Lord was giving us insight on this word, I began to think about Naaman. Remember Naaman in the book of Kings, how God had told how this man had leprosy, and he was a leader. He was one that was well-known and well-liked and his master had high regard for him, but yet Naaman had leprosy. And when the maiden had gone and told his wife about if he was in the he was in Israel, that there was somebody there, the prophet was there in order to heal him. So the word was had actually got to the king, and they sent word, and they sent all the gifts and all the things in order to the king of Syria, that he would heal, that he would cause his servant Naaman to be healed. But I want to read this word. We can't go into the entire part of it, but I want you to know that the king got really, when he received the letter, he was upset. Because of the fact that he was not a believer. And he thought the king was trying to start an argument with him because of the fact that, you know, who am I? Am I God that I heal, that kill and make alive? Am I God to do miracles like this? So when the man of God heard about what had happened, the prophet had they had asked Naaman to send the man to him, and we see that God moved through the prophet and called the prophet to tell Naaman to go and to wash in the river of Jordan for 7 times. But he didn't want to do it. That's the point I'm bringing out today. Sometimes we want God to heal us. Sometimes we want God to bring deliverance in our life, but we don't want to do what God has called us to do. He found everything. Why can't I go to the river of another river, a Pharaoh? Why can't I go? There's other rivers, there's other places other than that dirty river of Jordan for me to receive my healing. And not only that, when I began to think about it, when the man of God had asked him to come, then he thought the man of God was going to come out to him and wave his hand on him and do something that all foresee in his mind that he thought that the man of God was going to do. But all he wanted him to do was to go and dip 7 times in the river of Jordan. After thinking about it, after have been pushed, after have him having to be coerced by his servant to go, because, you know, if the prophet would have told him to to you to do. So go, you're the one. In other words, he's the one that needs the healing. He's the one that has leprosy. He's the one that could die with that disease. He is the one that fingers can fall off and toes fall off. He is the one that has that skin, that fatal skin disease. But yet, it let us know where we are today and what is it that God wants you to do to bring glory unto him. And yes, after he obeyed God, I'm coming back, but yes, after he had obeyed God, then he dipped 7 times in the river of Jordan, and he was cleansed. And that is what today God put the spirit upon that the clay, anointed eye, told him to go, wash into that pool of Siloam. And when he did, his eyes was open from birth, from the time I never could see before, never could see the light. He was always seeing darkness, never could see, as we said, the gold colors. He didn't know what colors was. He didn't know what red and yellow and blue looks like. He had not experienced that. He could not even see his mother and his father. And if he had any siblings, he could not even see them. But yet God had opened his eyes. Yes, he heard the voices around him. And when they began, after he was God opening his eyes, that he could see, and someone spoke to him, he could connect almost undoubtedly that voice with that faith. But how awesome, what a miracle of what God did for this man who was born blind. He caused him that he could be made whole. He was a beggar. Now he was able to get a job. All he was able to do is sit in different places they set him in before. But now he can go about and he could be able to be self-sufficient and to take care of himself. And then the some, when they saw him, they said, is this the man that was blind and sat begging? And they could not figure, was this a man or not? Therefore they said unto him, let's go in that ninth verse, they said, some said, this is he. Others said, he is like him. But he said, I am he. You have some doubt, but yes, I was that man that was begging all my life almost. Yes, I was that man that was born blind, but now I see. And then they want to know, how was your eyes open? We know you've been blind all this time. We've been passing by you. We've been throwing you a penny here and there. But how was your eyes open? And he answered. See, this is how I want you to listen very carefully to this. As God opened up and unveiled his word to us today, he said, and he answered and said, a man that is called Jesus, he made clay and anointed my eyes and said unto me, go and wash. Go to the pool of Siloam and wash. And I went and watched, and I received my sight. What a testimony. What a glorious testimony. He said it was Jesus. Now, do you give God the glory? Do you give God the honor for the things that God has done in your life? If you have any sickness in your body, an infirmity in your body, would you give God the glory and the honor and the praise for the things that God has done for you? Or would you take all of the glory? Or would you give the doctor all of the glory? Would you give that physician all of the glory? Would you give the ophthalmologist all of the glory? Oh, my God. That all the glory and the honor ought to go to Jesus Christ, because it was he that had called this man to see. So he rehearsed to them what Jesus did for him. And he said unto him, they want to know, where was he? And he said, he didn't know. I know not. And so they decided, I'm going to bring him to the Pharisees. And he said, was going to bring him in that 13th verse. They brought to the Pharisees him that was aforetime, that was blind. And it was the Sabbath day when Jesus made the clay and opened his eyes. I want you to see the enemy at work. I want you to see that they should have been rejoicing because of this man blind from his mother's womb. Now Jesus had opened his eyes, put clay on his eyes. He first spit it on the clay, and then he anointed his eyes and told him to go and wash in the pool of Siloam. And so when he did, he was able to see. But they, when you see evidence today, it's not any different. Today, sometimes when people look at people that has been healed miraculously by the Almighty God, how they look at them, how they question them, what happened. And the Word of God let us know that it happened on the Sabbath day. God made the Sabbath day. And that time and that culture, they thought that, you know, there shouldn't be no healing on the Sabbath day. You know, you should, this is a Sabbath day. This is a holy day. What other day? You know, every day ought to be a day of healing. Every day ought to be a Sabbath day. Every day should be a Sunday. Yes, we know that we are supposed to have a day to worship God, to lift up his name, to exalt him, to give him the praise and the glory. But I thank God that most of all that this man was here. I can rejoice even now. I was not there. Come on. I was not there when that blind man received his sight. But I am excited on the inside when I read the Word of God, and it let us know how this man was once blind, but now he can see. And the Pharisees, because it was on a Sabbath day and Jesus had made the clay, the Pharisees, they again asked him, how is that thou received thy sight? And he said to them, he told them again what happened. See, if it didn't happen the way he said that it happened, he couldn't tell it in the way that it did, just like you on a jury stand. You are in court. You're telling the truth because it's the truth and nothing but the truth. He had no problem telling them what happened or who healed his eyes. And he told them that he put clay upon my eyes, and I watched, and I do see. Now I see. Therefore, said some of the Pharisees, that this man is not of God, because he keepeth not the Sabbath day. Others said, how can a man that is a sinner do such miracles? And then that brought a division among them. And they said unto the blind man again, what sayest thou of him, that he has opened thy eyes? And he said, he is a prophet. He is a prophet. But when the Jews did not believe concerning him that he had been blind and that this man had received his sight, it wasn't good enough. Now, how many times did they have to tell them, did he have to tell him that he was once blind? How many times did he have to tell them that Jesus put clay upon his eyes and anointed his eyes and told him to go wash in the pool of Siloam, and he began to see? So they really did not believe him. Some didn't even believe him that man was really blind. So the Jews did not believe him, so therefore they called his parents of the man that was blind. And they asked him, is this your son? Number one, we want to know, is this your son? And was he born blind? How then does he see now? And his parents answered and said, we know that he is our son. Oh, I can tell you, the word of God didn't tell us what the man's name was. But this is our son. And he was born blind. We know that he is our son. But by what means he now sees, we don't know. We know not. We don't know how his eyes was opened. He is of age. He's old enough. You ask him. See, they already, as you know, have asked them all these many times. And they were saying, let him speak for himself. He's of age. Let him speak for himself. He already has spoken. He already have told them what happened, how he received his sight again. And then the words spake, these words spake his parents because and let's read that 22nd verse, because they were afraid that they were going to be put out of the synagogue. It says, these words spake his parents because they feared the Jews, for the Jews had agreed already that if any man did confess that he was Christ, he should be put out of the synagogue. Therefore, his parents said, he is of age, ask him. Then again called they the man that was blind. I mean, what does it take for you to believe God? What does it take for you to see the miracle working power of the Most High God? What does it take for you to know that God is a healer and God is a deliverer? He showed them that he is the one that heal and that he is the one that can deliver. So therefore, they called him again, and they wanted to, then they said, come on, give God the praise. But we know that this man is a sinner. And he answered and said, whether he be a sinner or no, I know not. One thing I know, that wherein I was blind, now I see. He may have been a sinner, but this man, he opened my eyes. Listen, I was blind from my mother's birth, and my mother already testified to you. My parents have already testified to you that I was blind. I don't know whether or not he was a sinner, but I do know that he has opened his eyes. Oh, he has, that's a personal testimony that he has opened his eyes. And he answered and said, I have told you already. You did not hear. Therefore, would ye hear it again? Will ye also be a disciple? He asked him a question. If I tell you again, I have told you so many times. If I tell you again, would you also be a disciple? And then here they began to revive him. They said, are thou his disciples? But we are Moses' disciples. We know that God spake unto Moses, as with this fellow, we know not whence he is. And the man answered and said unto him, why herein is a marvelous thing that ye know not from whence he is, and yet he has opened my eyes. Now we know that the God heareth not sinners, but if any man be a worshipper of God and doeth his will, him he heareth. And then as we read in that 32nd verse, it says, since they were saying that the world began, was it not heard that if any man opened the eyes of one that was born blind? Oh, my God, since the word began, was it not heard that any man opened the eyes of one that was blind? It was this man were not of God, he couldn't do nothing. And they answered and said unto him, thou was altogether born in sin. They want to bring up his religious background. They want to say that he was, just because he was poor, just because he was blind, they want to say that he was born in sin, and now how can you teach us? And then they cast him out. Oh, look at what God is saying to his people. Look at what the Lord is showing us today. When man, you know, in their religiousness, when people try to be so religious, religion is nothing but a duty, as it says in James. But I tell you today that they put him out of the synagogue. They were so religious they could not receive what he was saying unto them. So they put him out. Have you been put out of your church? Have you been put out of a place of worship because of your testimony? Have you been put out or not accepted by a friend or a neighbor because of your testimony that Jesus healed me, that Jesus is the light of the world, that Jesus saved me, that Jesus delivered me, and that I now was saved by the power of the Most High God? Were you not accepted? There are some people today that in the word let us know that we're all sinners saved by the grace of God, that when we ask God to forgive us for our sin, to come into our heart and to save us, Christ did that. But it let us know that some people, they are so religious in their thinking that they don't see God if he was standing right next to them. Come on. The man of God was healed by Jesus Christ. And no one ever before was known to open the eyes of the blind. But God was able, Jesus Christ came and he healed this man. Oh, yes, they cast him out. They put him out. And when Jesus heard that they had cast him out, and when he had found him, he said unto him, dost thou believe on the Son of God? And he answered and said, who is he, Lord, that I might believe on him? Oh, my God, look at God. See, this man, he didn't even know Christ Jesus. But he knew that Jesus Christ had healed him. Somebody said, you can't be healed unless you believe Jesus. This man, Jesus Christ healed, and he didn't even know who Jesus Christ was. After Jesus healed him, it made him a believer. I mean, after some time, we do the works of God that God has manifested in us and entrusted us, then there are many that will believe the gospel of Jesus Christ. This man wanted to know who was he, that he might believe. And Jesus said unto him, thou hast both seen him, as I opened your eyes, and it is he that talking with thee. It is he that you hear. He that you see. And he said, Lord, I believe. And he worshiped him. And Jesus said, for judgment I come into the world, that they which see not might see, and they that see which see might be made blind. Oh, my God. We thank God for the word of God. Because Jesus came that we may have life and that we can have it more abundantly. This man didn't have a relationship with Jesus Christ, but he was blind. And Jesus healed him. He didn't pass by him. He didn't just throw a penny, a dime, a quarter, a dollar inside of his container. But he did, he moved and he upon him, and he put that as his speck on the ground, and he put that in, mixed up with that clay, and he anointed this man's eyes, as the word of God have told us, and as a man was able to see. I don't know about you today, but if you just can believe the word of God, if you can just stand on the word of God in the midst of it all, in the midst of not seeing your healing taking place, you may have been sick in your body. And this may very well be that third day. This may very well be that fourth day. But if you could just believe God, I believe God, I believe God. When I look at the word of God, when I see what God did for Lazarus in the word of God in that 11th chapter of John, when I see that the man, listen to the radio audience, I mean, God wants faith to come alive. God wants us to be able to stand on his word and to stand no matter what the circumstances is, no matter what we're going through, we need to stand on God's word. Lazarus, remember how Mary and Martha had sent for Lazarus because the brother Lazarus was sick. Jesus was a friend to all three of them, but yet they sent for Jesus. Jesus decided he wasn't going then. He was going to wait. He was going to tarry where they were. And then he decided after, later, he told his disciples that they were going, you know, to wake Lazarus out of sleep. And then he let us know that the disciples thought that, hey, he must be doing good now. But the man, he was able to sleep. If he's sleeping, that means that he's doing well. But Jesus let him know that he is not sleep, just sleep. Lazarus is dead. So he had to let them know. Sometimes you got to come and make it plain to people. Lazarus is dead. Yes, in the spiritual realm, you sleep. But for them to understand the fullness of what Jesus Christ was saying to them, he said, Lazarus is dead. So therefore, he had gone after waiting that period of time, and he loved him. But yet he didn't move when Lazarus called. And sometimes when we expecting God to move for us and we don't see God moving right then, we just get discouraged. We get stressed and we all these other things that happen to us when we don't believe God. When we don't know, when we don't have that hope in him, when we don't know that what the word of God says, because he said, I'm able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. So after Jesus waited and he defeated his disciples, then it was time for them to go and see about Lazarus. And when he had met Martha, Martha said, let her know, Lord, if thou have been here, my brother would not have died. Jesus, while he was sick, if while he was sick, while he was hurting, while he was in pain, while he was going through, Lord, if you would have been here, my brother would not have died. But Jesus let him know that I am the resurrection and the life. Oh, she didn't really understand what he was saying. She was thinking that, oh, he's going to be resurrected in that last day. But Jesus let her know that I am the resurrection and life. And then when he met her sister Mary, she said almost the same thing. If you would have been here, my brother, whom they love, he would not have died. And Jesus let him know, take me where he is. Come on, take me where you have laid him. And then Martha say, let him know, oh, he's been dead for 4 days. By now you stink. Jesus wasn't concerned about how long he had been in the grave. He knew how long he'd been dead. He knew in the last breath that he breathed in his body. He knew that last breath was given up. He knew that. All he wanted to do, and he really knew where they had laid him. But they're saying he was telling her to show me where you laid him. And when they did, you remember Martha was saying that he stinketh. We know the blood didn't stop running in his veins. We know there wasn't any circulation anymore. We knew that his eyes was no longer be able to see, his ears could not hear. We know that. We know Brother Marcus has sat in. We know all of that. But it still say that in the natural that the man was dead. But yet we must know the power of God. When Jesus went to where they had laid him, where they had put him in that tomb, he began to, as they wept, and it did tell us that Jesus wept because that was his friend, because of unbelief, but he called his name. And he called his name. He said, Lazarus, come forth. And the word of God, that little he that was bound in gray clothes, he came loose, and he came forth, and the word of God said, loose him and let him go. So he was able to come forth. Man that had been dead for days, Jesus brought back to life. I don't know how long you've been in your situation. I don't know how long you've been going through in your life, but I do know that Jesus still is Lord. I do know that he is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. I know that he is able to bring you out with a strong hand and with a stretched out arm. I do know that even as he brought the Israelites out of the land of Egypt, whatever circumstances, whatever you may be going through today, God is able to bring you out as well. So here, I need you to know that God, he is God. And that he is God all by himself. And you must know that whatever it is today, we're getting ready to pray. We're getting ready to go before the Most High God. Whatever it is in your life today, it may be a child that you were a concern about. It may be your husband. It may be that manager, director on your job. It may be that car is not is a mechanical problem. It may be that your best friend, or it may be a disconnection there. Whatever it may be, it may be even money that's not in the wallet, not in the bank. Oh, but God is in control. I want you to know that God, he is in control. See, he made a believer out of a man that was blind from birth. He made a believer out of those that was even around about him. So today, why don't you test God? Why don't you see that God is able to move on your behalf? See, he can be tested. Like he tests us. All we have to do is stand on God's word. What he says, it is confirmed. It is written. What it is written, it is so. So today, we're getting ready to go before the throne of grace. And if you have a sickness or an infirmity in your body, I want you to know that God, he will heal. Even as before I pray, I want you to know that God healed my body. I want you to know that I had infirmity in my body. I had pain or discomfort in my back, down my arms. I had infirmity in the female area of my body, and it was there in different areas for about a week, even in the posterior area of the cervical area. But yet, I serve a God that's able to do exceedingly abundantly. On that day that God had me to pray, I began to go before one morning, but go before the Most High God. I began to pray, and usually I intercede for many, but this morning God had me to intercede for myself. I began to call out each infirmity that the enemy was trying to put upon my body. I began to call it out before the Lord. And then as I prayed, God began to, because God heard my prayer, and he began to call it back to me to let me know, this is healed, this is healed. You know, your stomach is healed. Every area that I call out to God, that he said it was healed. And I believe God. And from that day to this day, that my body has been, I did not no longer feel those infirmity. I didn't feel, I wasn't sick anymore. I didn't have, the enemy did not get the glory out of that because God healed me. And I want you to know today that the Lord, that the enemy will not get any glory out of what you may be going through, whether the sickness or if there's something that you're concerned about, that the enemy will not get any glory out of it. All you need to do is trust the Lord. Our Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we pray this morning, God, that you'll look, Father, that you would touch. You've seen the blind man as he sat there. Oh, God. And, Father, you had compassion upon him. Father, that you wanted to heal him for the glory of God. And, Lord God, whether the people are in Chicago, Father, whether they're in Texas, whether they're, Father God, in Washington, D.C., Jacksonville, Florida, Tampa, Florida, God, wherever they may be, Colorado, God, wherever they may be today, God, we are coming before you in the name of Jesus. And, Lord, I pray even now, God, that you would touch them, God, from the crown of their head to the sole of their feet. God, we pray your healing power, realizing, God, you paid the price 2,000 years ago for their healing and for their deliverance. So, God, we bind the forces of the enemy. We bind every work of Satan, every satanic force, every work of godliness, every voodoo, black and white magic, God, anything, God, that the enemy has sent against them, has sent against their bodies, has sent against their finances. Oh, Father, in the name of Jesus, whatever it may be, we're realizing, God, that you're able to move on their behalf. Lord, we realize this morning that the battle does not belong to them, but the battle belongs to you, and God, that you're well able to fight every battle. So, Lord, Father, in the name of Jesus, we ask you, Lord, to touch them, God, even now. And, God, to let them, Father God, be overcomers by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. God, that they would testify. Lord, even when I prayed, I told you, Lord God, that I would testify of what you have done to me and my body. And, Lord, even when I got up and prayed, Lord God, I was healed completely, not the next day, not the next hour, not the next 30 minutes, but I was healed from every infirmity right then. So, Lord, we just thank you, Lord, even as you heal my body. You have no respect of person. I pray even now that you heal them this day and this hour. Lord, even as I touch, Lord God, and stand in agreement, God, with those, Lord God, that are in our radio audience that do not know you as Lord and Savior, as the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, I pray now, God, that they will give their life unto you. Lord God, in Jesus' name, Lord, we, your word say, we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in our heart that God has raised him from the dead. Your word say that we shall be saved. So, Lord, I ask you, God, to save them. I ask you, God, to cast their sin into the sea of forgetfulness and remember it no more. We thank you and we praise your name. In Jesus' name we pray. This has been an hour of power with Dr. Mary Smith McCoy, inviting you to join us on next Wednesday at 9 o'clock for the